Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, part two. A memorial, prayer, devotional, evangelistic service. We thank God for the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, part one, the scripture reading service. And we trust that you have been blessed as well. We know that many of you are busy this time of the day, and many of you are doing something now you have never thought you would do, and that is you're homeschooling your children. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you are working from home right now, and you have learned that working from home is just as difficult, if not more so, than working in an office or someplace else. You've got to get it. And it's harder to get it when you're at home. And so, if you can peel off and listen and participate live with us, if you can play it in the background, that's great. And live, but we're always available a couple of hours or so after the live broadcasts and podcasts. And so many of you listen that way, and that's fine too. That's the beauty of the internet, the beauty of podcasting, the beauty of the technology we have today. It allows you to be in complete control of what you watch and what you listen to. So we thank God for the technology that He has wrought. And in this service, in keeping with our emphasis on prayer and on personal devotions, which I believe is so crucial under normal circumstances, but especially crucial under these circumstances with the coronavirus plague and turmoil all around, plus, of course, general perilous times in which we live. And not only that, but ladies and gentlemen, family devotions is so crucial. Personal devotions and family devotions are so crucial in these times. So I encourage you, even if you're in a family, to have personal devotions, personal devotional time. Some people call it a quiet time, but it ought not be that quiet. Some people call it family altar. And then you need to have a family time of devotion or devotions, okay? So you need it now more than ever. Some of you used to do this in the early years of your Christian life, and you have forsaken it, and you need to get back to it. Some of you have never even heard of it, because those who used to do it and have forsaken it, they didn't do their job and disciple you properly, so you've never even heard of this. Anyway, to encourage you, listen to one of my greatest friends, Dr. Ian Bounds. I call him Doctor. I don't think he received a doctorate. I call him Doctor because he's the doctor of prayer, for real. Dr. Ian Bounds said, "The central significance of prayer is not in the things that happen as results, but in the deepening intimacy an unhurried communion with God, with Jesus, at his central throne of control, in order to discover a sense of need, in order to call on God's help to meet that need. Now, Dr. E.M. Bounds, he's normally not that deep, but he is deep sometimes, and I'm afraid some of you will not get that until next week sometime. You're going to have to get that one by freight. That one will not be coming to some of you overnight. No, sir. You might not be you might not be a prime member yet to get that. You got to be a prime member to get that one the next day, okay? But you get it. Just think about it. Pray about it. Let's pray at this time for all people who name the name of Christ and all families that name the name of Christ. Holy Father God, help us all as your children, as disobedient and foolish acting as many of us are. Help us to humble ourselves, help us to pray, help us to seek your face, and help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to repent and get back to you, our first love. And I pray for all of the people here for that to happen, for sometimes those of us who are surrounded by diamonds and gold nuggets can be easily deceived into thinking that we are saved and that we're right with you just because we're serving you or because we have to serve you. I'm not serving you because I have to. I'm doing it because I want to. I'm not doing it to get saved. I'm doing it because I am saved, but I may have some around me who may not even be saved and think they are saved because they're working in the work. And that may be the case among many other people who are listening and participating as well. So Lord, open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls and help everybody to get their hearts right with you and to get back to you, their first love, Lord Jesus. And then Lord God in heaven, help everybody who names the name of Christ to pray and read your holy word in the morning. As I told my children via text this morning, read in the morning, pray and read the Bible in the morning, and then pray without ceasing throughout the day. Help everybody under the sound of my voice, and even those who name the name of Christ who are not under the sound of my voice. And Holy Father God, help us to do exactly that, to have personal devotions, family devotions, in the morning as early as possible, and then to pray without ceasing and to meditate on your holy word throughout the remainder of the day, whether we feel like it in the flesh or not. Help us, in fact, to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of our flesh. And Lord, we pray that you'll help every family that names the name of Christ to pray together, to obey your holy word together, found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And Colossians chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 as well. And then, Lord, help us to stay together. We pray that those who are single who need to get married, that they would do so and stay away from fornication. Avoid fornication by getting married and being the married, the wife or husband that they should be. We pray, Holy Father God, for those families that don't know you because we have, those of us who name the name of Christ, have failed you. We have failed you by not obeying your great commandment. We don't even love the people. Some of us don't even love ourselves, sad to say. Some of us don't even love our own family members, much less the people out in the neighborhood. And we're hypocrites and phonies and fakes because of that. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you would forgive us of that sin of not obeying your great commandment to love everybody, to love you first and to love everybody. and then forgive us of our sins of disobeying your great commission, because we don't love you back and don't love the people, we don't witness to the people. And so, Lord, we pray then that you'll help us to at least obey your other commandment, and that is to pray for laborers to go into the whited harvest field and to reap the harvest, even if you choose not to use us. And, Lord, I don't blame you. I do believe that you have spewed us out of your mouth in this church, this modern church today, like the church at Laodicea. We thank you, Lord, for the remnant, and we thank you for the faithful few. We thank you for your 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And Lord, help those of us who are in that tribe continue to love you back, love others, fear you and respect you, obey you, and witness to those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, would you please recite with me or read with me the Apostles' Creed, the New Apostles' Creed? You say new? Yes, new. I changed it. I added some things to it that should have been in there from the get-go. So let's say it. Now, if you don't believe this, don't say it. If you're not saved yet, don't say it. But if you are not saved and you say it, you will understand how to get saved, because the gospel is contained in it. I believe in God. Everybody say it out loud. If you mean it and if you believe it. If you don't believe it, please be quiet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. That's right, Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the third day by the power of God. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. And my dear friend, you need to believe in him for your soul's salvation. Call on his name right now. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And pray and ask him to save your soul. Confess to him that he is the Lord of your life. You believe in him and you have received his free gift of salvation. Then he was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going down to the family verses found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to hear some commentary and thoughts from one of the greatest evangelists in the history of America, Dr. John R. Rice. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is not a suggestion, you children. That is a commandment. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I am so happy to announce to you, after raising my children virtually by myself, my oldest children who are out and on their own, they honor their father big time. They have honored me ever since they have been gone on their own. That's very significant. It's one thing for children to honor you at home. Many do not. But when they leave home and they have to face God, Jesus, the devil, and the world on their own, and they dig down deep and sacrifice and honor first with their words of gratitude and thanksgiving to you and to God, most importantly, but they say thank you to you, and they realize everything you have sacrificed and done for them. That means more than all of the money and the gifts that they can send. And my oldest daughter, Danny White, my second oldest daughter, Danita Evangeline White, my oldest son, Daniel, the fourth, who was my worst child in raising him up. In other words, I had to whip his butt more. I don't even want to tell you how they've honored me since they have been gone from the homestead consistently every month. Not to mention the Father's Days and holidays, and throughout their upbringing, they honored me as from their hearts, calling me the father and the mother because of what I had to do to make sure they were taken care of. I didn't do the mother's job. I made my wife do it. But the truth is, she didn't want to do it as she should have. That's just the reality. I know you sweet little evangelicals don't like that kind of talk because you're liars. You're liars. You want everybody to think everything is wonderful and hunky-dory in your marriage and family, and it is not. And I wish I could say that my wife did it and I was a slacker, and I thank God for my wife. And if that was the case, I would be glad to do it. But that was not the case. And that is not the case in many homes. Many husbands and many fathers are getting a bad rap in the Christian church. They're all bad, they're all mean, they're all monsters, and the women are little angels. I want to reverse that to your faces. Some men are doing what God has told them to do, and then some. And some women are Jezebels, and devilish, and treacherous, and liars, and whorish, and disobedient. Okay? In the church. You say, see, that's why I don't like to come and listen to you. That's fine. That's fine. But you got it today. See? And not only do I know that, most husbands know it in the church. And watch this. Most women know it. In fact, more women know it than the husbands know about it. Because most husbands have been tricked and bamboozled by their manipulative wives in our society today. Yes, sir. I know I'm right about it. And so I thank God for how my children have honored me from their hearts on their own. They did it while they were here, and they did it. They're doing it now to this day. I would not be surprised. This is just a regular day. It's not my birthday, not my father, not Father's Day, nothing like that. I would not be surprised after these services that one of my children or all of my children have sent me something to be a blessing to me and to be a help in the ministry that God has called me to. And I want that for you. But you're going to have to do what Spurgeon said earlier today, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to leave it all on the field. You're going to have to pray hard and do your job and do your part. And then you reap the benefits and the blessings. You don't do it for that. But in time to come, that kind of thing happens for you. And it will be a surprise and a blessing. You say, well, preacher, do they honor their mother as they should? No, because she did not honor them. She did. She didn't love them and care for them as she should have. That's just the reality. I know some of you people don't like it, but it's the truth. And I say it because there's other women like that out there who don't love and care for their children as they should. See? And I had to make her hug her children and say, I love you. I shouldn't have to do that. And so when they realized, as they were coming up, when they realized she didn't really want to say, I love you and hug you, hug them, they didn't want her to hug her. Hug them, rather. They didn't want her to hug them. It's a tragic scene when a mother does not want to show love and nurturing and compassion towards her children. But that's what happened. But I made her do what she was supposed to do. But she didn't want to do it, and she didn't do it willingly. And you got, listen, she's doing much better right now. As I have rebuked her and dealt with her down through the years, she's still with me, and she's helping me more in the ministry now than ever before, and doing it willingly. Not with a perfect attitude, but with a better attitude and spirit. This is why I tell people, some of you folks don't stay married long enough to reap the benefits of all of your labors. That is sometimes even training your wife, teaching your wife how to be a wife and how to be a mother. The truth of the matter is, she didn't get any proper training from her father and her mother. Otherwise, she would have been a better wife and mother herself. That's just the reality. Her whole family is like that. See? I know you don't like it. You know why? Because you're a liar and you've been covering up things and hiding things in your family. You're a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake yourself, trying to make everybody think your family is so wonderful and great and beautiful, and you know you're living a lie. You know you have the Adams family experience at home and then the Brady Bunch family at church, and that's why the church is shut down. And that's why you, great family member, you're stuck in the house with your great family. And you're not doing well. You know why? Because divorce is on the rise in the church with your fake self. You can't stand each other. And guess what? Because I'm full-time in the ministry and been full-time for nearly 40 years by the grace of God. We have been together, my wife and I have been together every day. All day long, most days, with the children. We raised, homeschooled our children. What you're doing right now, we did that from day one. From the time they were born, we homeschooled our children all the way through college. Thus, the great benefits and the great honoring I get from my children. Not only presents and money and gifts, but the words mean more. Like my son wrote one time, you know, Papa, you know, when you're coming up in the family, he said, you don't realize how valuable and how important a father is. That's what he said to me on Father's Day. But now that I'm out here on my own and I'm thinking about starting a family myself, I realize how valuable and how important you were to me. Now that's he sent me thousands of dollars since then. I said thousands. But those words right there, I can die on those words, Jack. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I can lay my head down and rest with the fathers on those words right there. And same thing for my daughter, Danny. You know, she's been telling me and honoring me like that from the time she was a little girl all the way up. And so has my daughter, Danita. They even wrote a book. Danita edited the book. Letters to Our Father, I think the name of the book is. Okay, so I'm not trying to get my children to honor me. I have a couple of devilish children here with me right now in my family that I'm working on. The same way I worked on the three that are honoring me now. And my son was the worst one. He wouldn't mind my saying it, because he knows it's true. I had to take him to the woodshed quite a few times, and thus what comes out of that is what he's been doing since he's been gone. Barely a year. Plus he graduated from college before he left home, and he was the worst student as well, so far. Okay? So this is how you do it. You do what God tells you to do. I had to whip his behind. God wanted me to whip his behind. I had to whip his behind when I didn't feel like it. If you are a loving parent, you don't want to whip your children, man. See, those of you who are eager to whip somebody's butt, don't you do it. Only the parents who love their children and who don't want to whip their butts. God help us. You have the right to do so. When you show grace, when they ought to get the whipping just right now, you wait a whole day or two before you do it to see if they give them an opportunity to get it together. Because you don't want to even be bothered with that. No good parent wants to be bothered with whipping their children. You only do it because God commands you do it to save their soul from hell. Don't you get me started this morning. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Talking to the children today. By the way, my baby son is the one who put this together. Probably my third worst child. He's sitting right here with me. And he's not sparing himself, cutting out anything. And he's the one who edited this and put this together. Dr. John R. Rice says, surely God means to leave the impression that if one honors father and mother as he ought, other duties are likely to be observed and other commands obeyed. Did you get that? See, this is so important. Let me share that with you again. Because this is so important. Because if you don't get this right, is what he's saying, you're probably not going to get other things right in your life. You're not going to do the other commandments of the Lord. Surely God means to leave the impression that if one honors father and mother as he ought, other duties are likely to be observed and other commands obeyed. Now let me say something to you about how when you honor your parents, God honors you. Like my children, they're not even in their 30s. And they send me thousands of dollars to help me in the ministry and to honor me and so forth. And God has blessed them, even in this plague pandemic. The more they give and support our ministry here and support their father, the more blessed they are beyond measure. And what happens is, they just keep on giving and keep on honoring because God is honoring them and raising them up. That's how that works. The old saints used to say, you can't be God-giving no matter how hard you try. Dr. Rice goes on to say, honoring father and mother involves strict obedience. That is the very definite New Testament teaching. Read again Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And by the way, even though my children do not have a great relationship with their mother because she was not a good mother or a good wife while they were coming up, they still have to say yes ma'am, no ma'am, and so forth. They still have to show that kind of honor and respect. Okay? And they can't just call her by her first name and all that kind of thing. And that comes from me. And thank God they do that naturally. I won't tolerate that, okay, at all. But some of the blessings that my wife, their mother, could have had in time to come, that's not in their hearts to do because of what they had to go through. And so on that point, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close it out. And tomorrow we're going to do part 3. And we're going to start at Colossians chapter 3. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. I thank you so much for how my children have honored me down through the years. And it is your doing. They do it on their own. They don't have to. And as you know, Lord, I was not the kind of father that would let them get away with anything. They, even when their hearts were pure, even now, they thank me for chastising them for doing wrong. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor because, Lord, when you chastised me so long ago, Lord, as you know, you gave me a spirit and a heart to thank you for your chastisement. And by your grace, I was able to go through your chastisement, your painful chastisement, with joy and with the right attitude. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for being the greatest father of all time. And thank you for blessing me to be an even better father than my father, who I honored before he died, and learned from him positively and negatively how to love my children, but also to love them in the right way, which means to love them enough as you love us, Lord Jesus, as you said in your word to the Laodiceans, you rebuke and chasten those you love. And so, Lord, help us to keep that in mind. And I know for a fact that my children would not be honoring me the way they are today on their own if I had not loved them in that way, to pat them on the back when they did well and to pat them on the butt and to give them a whipping when they did wrong and evil and had the wrong attitude and spirit. So I give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done and what you're doing. And I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all parents would raise their children, all Christian parents would raise their children according to your holy word. Help every father to be the father he should be, and the mother to be the mother she should be, and that both parents, both the husband and the wife, would tell the truth and live the truth, because their children will grow up and they will remember. And so, Lord, I do pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, to pray together based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray together for those who name the name of Christ, the church. Let's pray for those in the government, in the ministry of government. Let's pray for those who are hurting because of the death of loved ones from the coronavirus plague. And let's pray for those who are persecuted, and for the salvation of the lost, and for the revival of the saved. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, many people don't understand it, but this is the hardest part of this service. So grant us your grace and your strength, your energy and your mind, and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray as we should. Lord, we thank you for your holy word that says, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And Holy Father God, we pray for every person who names the name of Christ, every family that names the name of Christ, every church that names the name of Christ. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, and help us to repent and get back to you, our first love. And have mercy, Holy Father God, and grace upon us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Wash and cleanse our hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be, Lord, whiter than snow on the inside. Create within us a pure heart and a right spirit. And Lord God in heaven, heal all families that name the name of Christ. Save all families that don't. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who are in the ministry of the government. Many are lost, some are saved. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the president and all other government officials. Under him, in his cabinet, in his family, in his administration. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation of the souls of all of these people in government. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these your servants. And Holy Father God, we pray for all senators and all U.S. representatives. We pray for all governors, all state representatives and state senators, all mayors and all police chiefs, and all sheriffs. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of betrayal out of the hearts, minds, souls, and spirits of these people. Save their souls and change their lives and fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit from the president on down. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israel. We pray for every president, prime minister, potentate, and premier, and leader of every ounce of government in every other country, that the people who are poor and who are struggling, who are in the middle, Lord, have what they need in this sin-cursed world in which we live. And help us all who name the name of Jesus Christ to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Lord God in heaven, we pray now for the comfort, protection, provision, and blessings upon those who have been chosen to be persecuted in this country and around the globe. Give them your grace in their trying hours. Give them your grace in their dying hours. Lord, in Nigeria, in China, America, the Sudan, Kenya, the Philippines, and all around the world, comfort them as only you can. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost in this country, around the globe, in every city, and Lord, in the media as well, as we pray for all of the estates. And we pray, Lord God in heaven, for the revival of those who are truly saved, and Lord, in this country, around the globe, and in the media, and help every Christian to stand up for you and to suffer for you so that we can all reign with you in time to come. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the healing of those who are sick, for those who name the name of Christ. Help them to call for the elders of the church and help them to confess their sins openly and honestly, and to be transparent so that they can be healed and raised up even from the coronavirus plague. And we thank you for healing many. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of the soul and the healing of the body of those who don't know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, like a universal blanket, have your Holy Ghost to move upon the hearts of every lost soul and open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls and change their lives. Help them to hear the gospel, read the gospel, and understand the gospel and get saved and never be the same. And in Jesus Christ, we do pray now, Lord, for all of the families and all of the individuals and friends who have lost their husbands and wives and parents and grandparents, their sisters and their brothers, their aunts and uncles, their cousins and friends to this coronavirus plague pandemic. Lord, we pray that your Holy Ghost would draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus, for salvation and comfort. And we pray that your Holy Ghost would draw them to your Holy Word for salvation and comfort. Comfort them, Holy Father God, as only you can. We can't do anything in this matter but pray. We have no words to offer these people. We don't know what they're going through, for many of them are still in shock. And the death of their loved one took place months ago. So Holy Father God, save their souls and change them, change their lives, and give them your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, as we pray for 10, but we pray, Lord, for millions of people. We pray for 10 families, but we are representing in this prayer millions of people in families around the world. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family and friends of California theater actor Nick Cordero. We pray for the family and friends of Brazilian composer Tonio Mendonca. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey architect Lenora Faye Garfinkel. We pray for the family and friends of Portuguese scientist Maria de Souza. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois ironworker Gregory V. Armstrong. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania veteran Nelson Henry Jr. We pray for the family and friends of New York construction worker Alan Liu. We pray for the family and friends of UK journalist Gregory Katz. We pray for the family and friends of Peruvian counselor Tito Ortiz. We pray for the family and friends of New York actress Yvonne Sherwell. And Lord, we can go on and on calling out names, but Lord, you know who has died, and you know their family members. Lord, draw them to yourself in salvation, and draw them to yourself for comfort. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray as we pray for the prayer list people. We're only praying over 7 out of thousands of prayer requests that have come in today, but we pray for all of the people who have sent their prayer request in. Help them to be what you would have them to be. Lord, hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray that you'll protect them from the coronavirus plague, everybody in their family. And Lord, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family life, financial, material protection and provision blessings, Lord, upon these people. And we pray the same for these people that we're naming by name. We pray for Shaka. Please help her brother to stop drinking and help her not to be depressed. Please help them to get answers as to why their father was killed. We pray for Dottie, for your divine intervention and protection. Protect them from the coronavirus plague and bless them with supernatural favor and blessings for their family, for clarity and wisdom for their daughters and grandchildren, schooling and jobs. We pray for May. Please save her daughter and her nieces and heal her aunt, mother and husband, Penny Mbeko. Help her to make the right decision regarding the man who wants to marry her. Help her to be the wife that she should be. We pray for Sumina. Provide her and her husband with jobs. We pray for Jocelyn. Continue to have your way in her life and the lives of her family members. Give her a closer walk with you and a greater outpouring of your mercy and grace and your Holy Spirit in her life. We pray for X.A. Give him strength to worship and to praise you and to do your will. Protect him and his family from the coronavirus plague, as well as all of these people. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved down through the years. And Lord, we pray for a few by name. We still pray for Brian, who got saved a few days ago. And we pray for all of these people to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. We pray for Dan. We pray for Dak. We pray for Motaz. We pray for Jazz. We pray for A. And we pray for Lucas. And we pray for Josh. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you as well. Even though, Lord, we don't give an invitation for this, so many have written in from hearing the Word of God preached and your Holy Gospel preached and have said, you know what, I'm already saved, but I am away from the Lord. I am backslidden, and so I'm coming back. So we pray for Shal, we pray for Noma, we pray for Lemmy, and we pray for Dorcas, we pray for Linio, we pray for Pascal, and we pray for Anne. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled, God's Silence, Then What? Part 1 by Dr. Oswald Chambers. John 11:6 says, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Has God trusted you with his silence? A silence that has great meaning. God's silences are actually His answers, oftentimes, and I'm adding the oftentimes. Just think of those days of absolute silence in the home at Bethany. Is there anything comparable to those days in your life? Can God trust you like that? Or are you still asking Him for a visible answer? God will give you the very blessings you ask if you refuse to go any further without them. But His silence is the sign that He is bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of Himself. Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? When you cannot hear God, you will find that He has trusted you in the most intimate way possible. That is, with absolute silence. Not a silence of despair, not a silence of depression, not a silence of doubt, but one of pleasure and one of peace, yea, even one of joy. Because He saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation. If God has given you a silence, then praise Him anyhow. He is bringing you into the, if you will, mainstream of His purposes. The actual evidence of the answer in time is simply a matter of God's sovereignty. Time is nothing to God. It may be something to you, but time is nothing to God. God is not in time. For a while you may have said, I asked God to give me bread, but He gave me a stone instead. He did not give you a stone, and today you find that He gave you the bread of life through His silence. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we give You the glory, the praise, and the honor for this time together, live and on demand. Lord, we thank You for what You have done and for what You're doing in our hearts and minds and lives. And Lord, help us not to be scared of the times of Your silence. Help us to keep our heart and mind stayed on You. Help us to pray without ceasing. And Lord, help us to be obedient to You and to proclaim and preach Your gospel, as I'm getting ready to do now. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, grant me Your grace and Your help, Your strength and Your anointing, Your unction and the power of Your Holy Spirit to do so. Have Your Holy Spirit's power to move upon the hearts of people who are listening live and on demand. Lord, open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and help them to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as You made me to understand it so many years ago. Save their souls and change their lives. For Your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful dark place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's eternal law. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God. We all have broken His Ten Commandments. That includes the Pope, Pope Francis, that includes the Dalai Lama, that includes even Joel Osteen. Even he would admit that he has sinned against God. Now, he'll say it with a smile, but he sinned against God too. And so have I, yours truly. Even though I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years, I've sinned against God as well. We all have. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. Always. For the Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Because of sin we die. Because of our sinful nature and our sinful choices, we die. Therefore, our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to eternal death in hell if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection in this life, and call on his name and ask him to save us. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because hell is real. While he was describing hell, he said one time that hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said, "Well, preacher, I'm in hell right now." No, you're not. This is not quite heaven, but it's much better than hell, right, where you're living at right now. Because Jesus Christ also said, "In hell their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched in hell." It is never quenched. It's always hot as hell in hell. Always. You think it's hot in Texas? No. No. This feels like air conditioning compared to in hell, because the fire is never quenched. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, notice how earnest and serious Jesus Christ is about this matter of hell, so earnest and so serious that he said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee," that means they drag you to the boom boom club, they lead you to touch on somebody you're not married to, they lead you to lie and steal. Jesus says, "Cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. So hell is a very real place. Hell is a place like New York City is a place. Hell is a place like Atlanta, Georgia is a place. Hell is a place like Rome, Italy is a place. Just because you have not been there does not mean it's not there. And the saddest aspect of hell, however, is that once you go there, there will be no second chance. You can't get out. You will be locked into hell forever, according to the Word of God. Hell is the prison house of despair. Dear friend, you don't want to go there. So hell is bad news, very bad news. But I have some very good news for you. You do not have to go to hell, because your sins that cause you to go to hell have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, all you have to do to be saved according to Jesus Christ Himself is just believe in your heart in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid your sin debt. Believe that He suffered, He bled, and He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul. It is a free gift. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Do you know Him as your Savior? If not, believe in Him today. Trust Him as your Savior today. Pray and ask Him to save you. Call on His name and He will save you. It is a free gift. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to do anything but believe in Jesus Christ as He said. Now, if you feel uncomfortable praying the sinner's prayer, follow me in the sinner's prayer right now, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. And God will hear your prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Lord, it is true. I have lied before. I have stolen things before of small value and maybe great value. And Holy Father God, I have coveted in my heart after people and things before. I've lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit to save my soul from hell. A hell that I deserve. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download, so you can start reading today. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email that to us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on your platform, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.